And I'm going to try to be general and give some introduction along the way, but I'm probably going to fail. So just go ahead and ask me questions at any point, especially with definitions or jargon or anything like that. So the work is based on this kind of fascinating idea of holography, that it may be true that certain theories in four dimensions might have an equivalent description in terms of an extra-dimensional theory. So a little bit of motivation. Because of the ADS-CFT correspondence in string theory, ADS means anti-de Sitter, it's a type of geometry. CFT means conformal field theory. Conformal field theory roughly is a theory with scale invariance. And there is this kind of conjecture that relates a particular example between these on these two sides. But it's more widely believed that there could be some kind of holographic duality between these types of theories, a five-dimensional curved background equivalent to some four-dimensional strong dynamics, so something like quantum chromodynamics, a strongly coupled gauge theory. And so if you are a conservative, you might say that the extra dimension might not be real, but it could be useful kind of as a calculational tool. We can maybe obtain quantities in the strongly coupled gauge theory that we can't obtain by perturbative methods. So it could be useful in that respect. If you're a bit more radical, you might say that the fact that we have strong gauge dynamics maybe is indicating that perhaps extra dimensions are a feature of nature. Regardless of your philosophy, I think the basic idea in this talk is that I'm kind of going to think of it as two different languages to obtain the same physical results. And so my purpose is to kind of clarify the relationship between these two sides of this duality. And I'm going to focus on Randall-Sundrum models. Randall-Sundrum models are kind of a popular extra-dimensional framework at this time. And the hierarchy problem, which I'll explain as well, has to do with, again, with these fine-tuning problems and scalar field theories. The hierarchy problem is solved in this kind of model by this curved geometry. Okay, so I'll talk about that. And these models are dual to the standard model being partly composite. That is, there's some elementary sector that mixes with composite fields which form from the strongly coupled gauge theory. So composite fields, if you take again the example of QCD, QCD is a strongly coupled gauge theory at low energies. And what we actually observe are composite particles, things like the pion, the proton, things like those. So I'm interested in this relationship. And so my purpose will be to kind of quantify this relationship. I want to be able to make a quantitative statement about this elementary composite mixing in the dual theory. And so the tool that I'm going to introduce is something we call the holographic basis. Okay, so usually when you analyze a 5D theory, you do something that's called the Kaluza-Klein decomposition. And it's just like in quantum mechanics or electricity and magnetism, when you're studying potentials, you expand the field in terms of a complete set of states. This is going to be slightly just a kind of a twist on this. And what we're going to do is that instead of a Kaluza-Klein decomposition, we're going to identify, a purely elementary field or a source field, and I'll explain that in a minute, and a set of composite states. Okay, so I'm going to explain this expansion throughout the talk. Okay, so here's an outline. More broadly, this work is kind of in the context of the hierarchy problem. Okay, so this fine-tuning with the Higgs scalar field, I'll explain that. I'll review how Randall-Sundrum models solve this problem. Then I'll talk about holography, the ADS-CFT duality, and the holographic interpretation of Randall-Sundrum models. We'll review the Kaluza-Klein basis. Okay, how do we analyze 5D theories? And then finally, I'll introduce the holographic basis. I'll define the 4D fields and the profiles in that theory in this decomposition. And then finally, we'll use that to analyze the structure of the dual theory in four dimensions. So we'll actually be able to look quantitatively at this elementary composite mixing in the dual theory. And then if we have time, I'll look at an application from phenomenology in warped models or Randall-Sundrum models, and that is flavor change in neutral currents. Okay, so the big question on particle physics people's minds at this point is, how do particles get mass? The standard model is a very successful theory, but there's kind of one missing piece, and that is, how is electroweak symmetry broken? Okay? So we think that there's some Higgs boson, a scalar field, which breaks this symmetry. However, there's this famous hierarchy problem. And the idea is that if you compute quantum corrections to the Higgs mass, you find that the physical mass is quadratically dependent on the cutoff. Okay, so we see this lambda squared here. This represents the ultraviolet cutoff of the theory. Okay, so it's very analogous to the cosmological constant problem. And that problem, the tuning is even worse. It goes like lambda to the fourth. Here we don't have to deal with such a bad tuning, but it's still a very extremely fine tuned. And so the point is if we think there's no new physics all the way up until the Planck scale, or quantum gravity, we take the ultraviolet cutoff to be 10 to the 19th GeV, the Planck scale. And then you can just put the numbers in, and you can see that the bare mass parameter in the Lagrangian has to be incredibly fine-tuned to agree with the expected value of the Higgs mass. Okay, so some people would call this ugly. And so basically, we'd like to find a more natural way to get a physical Higgs mass. And so one approach is supersymmetry. The other approach is just basically going to lower lambda. Okay, so we're going to make lambda a much lower scale. And we can do this with extra dimensions. Okay, so I'm going to focus on Randall-Sundrum models. So let me kind of review this. We also call these warped extra dimensions. And so the idea is you have this extra direction we can go in. The ordinary coordinates x, y, z, t are on these brains, go in this direction. And the geometry is warped. So distance scales along the extra dimension actually depend on where you sit. And correspondingly, any energy scales will depend. So this warped geometry means that energy scales depend on location. So the idea is that you can if you associate the Planck scale with this side, you can put the Higgs over here, and then the weak scale will kind of be generated by this geometry. And so you can generate the weak scale by choosing the parameters in the theory appropriately. And so K is the curvature of ADS space. R is the radius, so this kind of distance. And so if you choose pi kr to be of order 30, you can get this, you can generate this weak scale. So TV comes from the geometry from your fundamental scale, which is the Planck scale.
You have to introduce some energy sink, like negative density.
It's
not in the main one.
Yeah, I'm bothered by it. But you could imagine, okay, so this is, the advantage of this model is it's calculable. It's kind of simple. And you could imagine that, yeah, okay, so I'm bothered by it. Okay, so again, the point is that we can lower lambda. We can lower the effective scale for this Higgs boson to, say, a TeV. And then the hierarchy problem is solved in this geometrical way. Okay. Now, it's nice, actually, to put the standard model fields in the bulk, because you can actually get a theory of flavor. And so if the Higgs still sits over here for the hierarchy problem, we can introduce bulk fermions, so fermions in the extra dimension. And zero-mode fermions can actually be localized at different places by adjusting the bulk masses. Okay, so for instance, the electron will sit over here on this side. It will overlap very weakly with the Higgs. We can get a very small Yukawa coupling, which will determine the electron mass. So then we can get a very small electron mass. On the other hand, the top quark is very heavy, so we want to localize it very close to the Higgs. It will have a very strong overlap with the Higgs boson, and you get a large Yukawa coupling. Okay, so also flavor change and neutral currents are suppressed. And the way you can see that is if you look at a typical KK mode, okay, these are excited states of the 5D fields, which I haven't really explained yet, but there are these new states called KK modes. And if you look at a typical profile, it's basically constant near the UV brain. And so the light fermions will all see this constant piece. The couplings will be universal through these excited states. And so flavor change and neutral currents will be suppressed. There'll be an analog of a gym mechanism, which is the same in the standard model. Flavor change and neutral currents will be suppressed in that same way. OK, so
So I'm kind of interested in the holographic description of this setup. So what does this correspond to in terms of 4D physics and strongly coupled gauge dynamics? Yeah?
Is the profile?
Yes. Yeah, so, so what you do is you put, when you write down the action, there'll be a parameter for the mass, for the fermion mass. And so, you can basically give that, by tuning those parameters order one for order one values, you can get exponential wave functions. So it's basically the bulk mass of the fermion. Okay, so I'm going to consider this very kind of general theory. It's a scalar field theory, and it has bulk and boundary masses. And I'm going to tune these parameters, V and A. V and A are dimensionless parameters. And so why would I actually do this? This seems kind of hokey, kind of a toy model. Well, I'm interested in the dual interpretation, the 4D description of localized zero modes. Okay, so depending on where these zero modes sit, there's going to be a different holographic description. Okay, so this is a very kind of general theory in which I can do that in. And this tuning will allow for a zero mode to be present. If you just pick arbitrary values of A and B, boundary conditions will project out the zero mode fields. So I'm just going to demand this tuning. The holographic interpretation will depend on what I pick for this parameter B. But it's actually more useful because basically all realistic examples can be mapped onto this theory. Okay, so for special values of B, this will mimic a theory with the bulk graviton and gauge boson. Okay, so let me talk about holography. And I'm not going to get too much into the string theory, but basically the ADS-CFT correspondence relates a particular string theory compactified on a particular manifold to some particular gauge theory. Okay, so we don't need the details for this talk, but for our purposes, we'll just take this working definition. A weakly coupled theory of gravity in a warped extra dimension is dual or can be equivalently described by some strongly coupled gauge theory in four dimensions. And more quantitatively, we can write the relation between the two sides. So on the 4D side, we have the generating functional of CFT operators. Okay, O is some operator in the CFT. It's some operator in the dual gauge theory. Phi naught acts as a source for this operator. Okay, this is the 4D side. And on the 5D side, we have the effective 5D action, okay, as a function of the boundary value of the bulk field. Okay, so let me try to clarify this. So here's the dictionary that relates the two theories. We have on the 5D side, we have a bulk field. Okay, it's a function of all coordinates, x and y, the extra dimension. And on the 4D side, this bulk field is dual to some operator in the CFT. If you apply a boundary condition to this bulk field, phi naught, that boundary value will act as a source in the generating functional. Okay, so why is that useful now? Well, in quantum field theory, how we compute correlation functions is to take derivatives of your partition function or your generating functional. Okay, so now we can compute correlation functions by taking derivatives, but we can compute them actually directly from the 5D side. Now, if you give a bulk mass to this field, that translates into a dimension for this operator O. Okay, so for different bulk masses, you have different operator dimensions. So for example, if you put a gauge field in the bulk, A mu, the dual operator in the CFT is a global symmetry current. The gauge field is massless, and that translates into a dimension of 3 for the operator. So it has no anomalous dimension. What that means is that this is a conserved current. And so the statement is that gauge symmetry in the bulk is dual to a global symmetry in the CFT. Now, so far we've just discussed kind of pure ADS background, and the dual theory in that case is a conformal field theory, and what it means is it's kind of has a scale invariance. There's no scale in that theory. There's not going to be any spectrum. But We can kind of try to extend this duality for this Randall-Sundrum model. So let me try to describe what that duality is. If we put in a UV brain, okay, so we put in a brain on this side, what happens is actually we get a zero-mode graviton that can be localized on the UV brain. We get a normalizable graviton. So what it corresponds to in the dual theory is you take your CFT and you couple it to gravity. Okay, so you put in some Planck scale, UV cutoff for your theory, and then you couple it to gravity. Now, this corresponds also to the source field. Okay, so the source field here, phi naught, it becomes a dynamical field in your theory. And it's some elementary degree of freedom that doesn't come from the gauge theory, doesn't come from the CFT. Now, an infrared brain corresponds to a spontaneous breaking of conformal symmetry. And when you break the symmetry, kind of just like in QCD, you get resonances, you get composite states that are built out of the more fundamental fields in the gauge theory. Okay, so you get composite states. On the 5D side, this is reflected by the fact that now you have Kaluza-Klein modes. Okay, so I still haven't explained what Kaluza-Klein modes are, but these are excited states of the 4D fields. Okay, so here, this is just kind of the jargon that I'm using. I have zero modes and KK modes. Those come from the kind of the 5D picture. On the 4D side, you have a dynamical source field, an elementary field, and then you have bound states or composites. However, there is this mixing through this operator in the 4D theory. And so actually mass eigenstates will be mixtures of these elementary and composite states. And so my purpose is to try to clarify how this mixing occurs. Okay, so we've kind of come full circle now. We started out with this kind of radical solution where you have this curved higher dimensional space, which solves a hierarchy problem. But really, this is just the same thing as compositeness. Okay, and this is a very old, and maybe some people would say conservative solution. Okay, so in QCD, we have QCD is an example of a strongly coupled gauge theory. The fields in QCD are quarks and gluons. As we go down in energy scales, we observe confinement, okay, at the scale lambda QCD. And the particles we actually observe in detectors are things like pions. Okay, so these are composite particles. So the question is, could electroweak symmetry breaking be achieved by some kind of similar mechanism, some kind of strong gauge dynamics? And so the theories that go under this kind of class are called Technicolor back in the 70s, and then later composite pigs in the 80s. And of course, there's many, many variations on this idea. Yeah.
Yeah, so the only thing that you didn't motivate is, supposing I have on the four-dimensional side in the brain side, I have QCD, as you say. Why should, and there are states of it which are pions, why should they be represented as something like both Kaluza-Klein modes in the bulk dual?
Why should they?
Or why do you have a model in which you
Well, okay, so yeah, people try to build models.
But is there an intuitive reason why? Why expect that the dual of composite states is quote Kaluza-Klein modes?
An intuitive reason.
Well, a simple reason.
Simple reason. Yeah, I'm not sure if I have a good answer to that. There's a good, simple, intuitive reason.
So for example, is that
yeah.
If I had a gauge theory on this side which happened not to be confining and had no composite states, then there would be impossible to
explain. Yeah, so I'm not describing a dual theory of that type. I'm not describing a gravitational description of that type. So the only intuitive reason why you might expect that is that the fact that you actually see in Kaluza-Klein theories you see resonances, and also in QCD you see resonances.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only there's probably a better answer, but so people do try to build these types of models, and they try to match them with data, and so that would be the ultimate goal is to build a dual of QCD, of course. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So as I said before, you can compute correlation functions of the 4D theory directly from this correspondence. And so just to save time, let me just present the expression. Okay, so here's the expression that you find. And it's just found by taking kind of these derivatives with respect to the boundary value of the 5D action. And so you find this complicated expression. These are Bessel functions. They depend on the momenta. They depend on this value B. And so the next step is to try to interpret this correlation function. So the first thing you notice actually is that this correlator has poles in it. Okay, so poles in a two-point function correspond to the masses of the resonances. So if we look at the zeros of this denominator, that tells us the masses of the bound states of the composite fields. Okay. As we'll see. Yeah.
This is for pure Randall's.
Right. Yep.
I was wondering if you include back reaction of radion and things like that.
No, it's just pure ADS. This is just pure ADS.
Well, but if you do,
if you do
metric around IR brain,
will change. Yeah.
Would this affect in any way?
I mean, because your geometry is changing it, it probably would affect your expression. So it could probably change your spectrum. So I'm considering like this more simple case. Yeah. Okay. Now also you can obtain the dimension of the operator in the dual theory. And the way you do that is you can expand this function at high energies, okay, so large values of p. And in that regime, the theory should be approximately conformally invariant. Okay, so the dominant term that you find from this expansion, the momentum dependence in that term will tell you what the dimension is. And then this is what we find. So it's just, again, the statement that operator dimensions are translated into the masses in the bulk fields. And we can rewrite it in terms of B. And the operator dimension is actually important because it will tell you how strong the mixing will be between the elementary and the composite states at low energy. So if you look at, you know, an operator in quantum field theory, if its dimension is greater than 4, that corresponds to an irrelevant operator. Okay, so the coupling out front will decrease, will become very small at low energies. Okay, so that's what happens for this regime, B less than 1 or B greater than 3. Okay, so this regime here and over there. And on the other hand, if the operator dimension is less than 4, so for instance, like a mass operator, the coupling will grow, so you have a relevant operator. And that happens in this regime, in the shaded regime here. Now, just to make contact, the graviton, the case of the graviton zero mode, that corresponds to this point here, delta equals 4. Okay, so it corresponds to irrelevant mixing. So we should expect the zero mode graviton to be primarily an elementary state. It's primarily this elementary source field. On the other hand, we can also look at the gauge field. That sits actually here, delta equals 3. And that's a marginal point, so we actually expect the zero mode gauge field to have a significant mixture of elementary and composite states. You can notice that there's this kind of symmetry in this operator dimension about the point B equals 2. And that corresponds actually to two different branches in the dual theory. So let me just quickly go over that. For B less than 2, okay, so that's the case with the graviton and the gauge boson, the source field, the elementary guy, is massless. And the zero mode then corresponds to a primarily an elementary state.
For this other branch, B greater than 2, the source field actually becomes massive. And at the same time, the CFT produces a very light state. Okay, so it primarily becomes the zero mode primarily becomes a composite state in that case. Okay, so this is the qualitative picture that we have. Things that are localized on the UV correspond to primarily elementary fields. Things that are localized on the infrared brain, like the top quark, correspond to a significant composite mixture. And so I want to basically quantify this relationship. Okay, so first, how we usually analyze 5D theories is to do a Kaluza-Klein decomposition. So it's just like in quantum mechanics, you expand, you separate various variables, you expand your field in a complete set of states. The fields phi n of x, those are your 4D fields. Okay. And we're going to apply even boundary conditions, okay, so Neumann conditions at each side of the extra dimension. And that will give us a zero mode, okay, here. And it can be localized anywhere in the extra dimension. So that's why I wanted to study this theory. By choosing different values of B, this profile will change and the field will be localized at different points. And by construction, the Kaluza-Klein basis is a mass eigenbasis. Okay, so there's no mixing to quadratic order in the Lagrangian. So it's a mass eigenbasis. And the spectrum is given here. You can compute that from the wave functions by applying the boundary conditions. And it's different. This spectrum is different than the poles in the correlator. Okay, so this was the spectrum of pure CFT resonances or composite states. This is the KK spectrum, and they're different. And that corresponds. That's because there's mixing in the 4D theory. Okay, so now how do we quantify this? So this is the basic idea of the talk. So just kind of focus on this box for a minute. The idea then is to expand the bulk field not in a Kaluza-Klein basis, but instead we're going to expand directly in terms of this source field or this elementary state and a set of CFT composite states. Okay, so these fields are different from the KK modes. And therefore, the profiles, the wave functions in the extra dimension, will also have to be different. So the trick is to specify what those profiles are. And then you just do the same procedure. You kind of insert this expansion into the action, compactify the theory, or integrate over the extra dimension. And that will give you your effective theory. This will lead to kinetic and mass mixing, as we'll see. And the mass eigenstates, therefore, will be some mixture of these elementary and composite states.
Okay.
So how do we get at these profiles? Well, we're not going to really derive them in the same sense that we do Kaluza-Klein profiles. But what we can do, basically, we know the masses, the diagonal masses of the elementary and composite guys. So what we can do is kind of work backwards and say, well, what would the profiles have to be? What would the wave functions have to be in order to obtain those masses? Okay, so for the source field, the elementary field, it's massless for this branch, B less than 2. And so the only wave function that it could have would be the same one as the zero mode, the same one as the massless mode in the Kaluza-Klein basis. So we'll give it the same profile. However, it picks up a mass, actually, for B greater than 2. And so it has to have a different profile. And actually, it turns out to be given by this wave function. Okay, so we have this different structure on these different branches. And that profile has a nice explanation in terms of holography. And it basically mimics this operator dimension. And it tells you when the mixing is relevant, irrelevant, or marginal. If we just look at the profile, if we plot the profile of this elementary field, we can see for B less than 1, it's actually localized on the UV. It will overlap very weakly with the CFT states. Okay, so that corresponds to the irrelevant mixing. On the other hand, for B equals 1, we see that it's flat. That corresponds to marginal mixing. As we proceed to B equals 2, it overlaps quite strongly with the CFT states, which are going to be localized on the infrared brain. And then we switch to these other profiles. And it starts kind of retreating back to the UV brain, just like the operator dimension did. Okay, so for B equals 3, it's flat again. For B less than 3, or B greater than 3, it corresponds to irrelevant mixing. It's UV localized. Now the composite profiles, well, we know the spectrum of the composite states. They're just the poles in the correlation function. And so here's the spectrum. And we would just, to get this spectrum, all we would have to do in a 5D theory is just change the boundary condition. Okay, so instead of applying an even condition there, a Neumann condition on the UV brain, we'll just apply a Dirichlet condition. So our wave functions will satisfy the 5D equations. We'll just change the boundary condition on the UV brain, and that will get us back to the spectrum. So that's how we'll define the composite profiles. So then we put it in. We put everything into the bulk action, the 5D action, 5D Lagrangian. And this is what we find. This is the 4D effective theory. So this is this phi, it's a vector in field space. We have an elementary field, and then our composite fields. And notice in Lagrangian we have a kinetic term, a mass term, and we have kinetic mixing and mass mixing given by these matrices. Okay, so these coefficients, these mixing coefficients, z and mu, they're determined by wave function overlap integrals involving the profiles of the elementary field and the composite fields. And then we can try to diagonalize this system. And when you do that, the first thing you should do is diagonalize the kinetic matrix. That matrix will then be diagonal, but it won't be canonical. So the one will have to rescale the fields, canonically normalize the fields. And that's actually a non-orthogonal transformation. Okay, so the transformation that we'll have will look kind of, it'll look a little bit funny. Okay, so after that, we can finally diagonalize the mass matrix. And then the point is that whatever diagonalized values we get along these masses here, they have to match whatever we originally derived from the Kaluza-Klein basis, because that is a mass eigenbasis. That's the true spectrum. And so we can do that numerically. So if we take, say, n composite states, diagonalize the system with that procedure I just described, then you can check how closely they replicate the eigenvalues derived directly from the Kaluza-Klein expansion. And so they've matched very closely. And the larger number of states that you include, the more closely they match. So it's really good evidence that this actually is describing the holographic mixing in the 4D theory. Okay, so now let's apply this formalism, and we can now say kind of precisely how much each mass eigenstate is elementary and composite. So here's the graviton. It's localized on the UV brain. And in our scalar field theory, it corresponds to B equals 0 and delta equals 4. We have irrelevant mixing. And so as we see, if we look at the mass eigenstates, the 0 mode, the massless graviton, and then the composite graviton, or the KK mode graviton, we see that the 0 mode, it's primarily elementary. And its composite coefficient is basically exponentially small. And this, again, is because we have irrelevant mixing in the 4D theory. The gauge field is more interesting. It's flat. Has a flat profile. It corresponds to B equals 1 in the scalar field theory. And corresponds to a dimension delta equals 3. And so we have marginal mixing. And so as we see, if we look at the 0 mode eigenvector, it has a much more significant composite content in it. Okay, so it's still primarily elementary, but it does have some compositeness. And then finally, we can look at the top quark. Remember, the top quark, we wanted to localize that more on the infrared brain near the Higgs in order to obtain a large top mass. And so so here it is. In this description, we have a bulk mass for the fermion, C times K. C is dimensionless. Here's the fermion wave function. So it's very similar to the scalar case. It can be localized anywhere depending on what C is. So for the top quark, we actually can take a value, for instance, of C equals minus 0.7. That will localize it on the infrared brain. And the dimension of the operator in that case is 1.7. That corresponds to relevant mixing. And so as we see, the zero mode top quark, the standard model field, is roughly, it's a 50-50 mixture of elementary and composite states.
The compositeness in the sort of ordinary sense that if you try to probe TT bar pairs with a large enough momentum, you would see the drop in the form factor? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Although I don't know if I don't know if this formalism would allow you to compute that, because we're just talking about resonances. But yeah, I think it's like that. I guess it's very analogous to gamma rho mixing in standard models. So in vector mesodominance, you have the QED photon and QCD row. And so.
But then, of course, electrical precision data is sensitive to of points where the significant momentarily of the same.
So people do compute the compute the, of course they compute the electric precision tests, and so it puts bounds on the scale of the composites. Okay, so I don't know how much do I have time
for. 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay.
Just questions.
Okay, so let me try to look at a phenomenological example from these models. And so the procedure is simple. We're going to take the 5D gauge interactions, so the interaction between fermions and gauge bosons, and insert the holographic basis that I defined, compactify the theory, and look at all the effective interactions between the elementary and composite states. Okay, so these are all the vertices that we get. Okay, so we have things like three elementary guys interacting, two elementary fermions and a composite gauge boson, elementary fermion, composite fermion, elementary gauge boson, things like this. We have all these different vertices. And now the crucial point is, for what we're going to consider, is that the composite fermions, so anything with a double line, the composite fermions actually contain no zero mode in their eigenvectors. Okay, so they contain no standard model fields in their expansion. Okay, so you can show that analytically, that these are basically purely written in terms of Kaluza-Klein modes. And so for standard model physics, what we'll be concerned with is these two vertices. Okay. Now, so let's plot the couplings here. These are the couplings of these vertices. And these are just determined, again, from overlap integrals involving the profiles of the elementary and composite field. So if we plot those couplings, for fermion values, which are relevant for phenomenology, those values are basically in this region, this white region here, between C equals 1/2 and C equals 1. What we notice is that the elementary vertex, the three elementary vertex here, it dominates. Okay, so this is the important vertex for phenomenology. And so, for light fermions, things like the electron, light quarks, this three-source vertex will dominate. And so if we just translate this vertex into the mass eigenbasis, we find two zero modes and a zero-mode gauge boson. This is just the standard model gauge coupling. Okay, and we also find two zero-mode fermions, two standard model fermions, interacting with the KK-mode gauge boson. And now the crucial point is that normally, a vertex of this type would possibly induce flavor change in neutral currents. But because if you look at the coupling, you notice that basically it's independent of C. C is what distinguishes among the different fermions. This coupling is independent of C. And so therefore, the Kaluza-Klein gauge boson couplings between the two light fermions are approximately universal. Okay, so this piece dominates. The couplings are universal. The non-universal piece would come from this other vertex, but it's very small. It's suppressed. And that piece could actually induce flavor change in neutral currents. And the reason, of course, the reason, again, why this vertex is small in this region is that this corresponds to irrelevant mixing. It corresponds to that when we couple the elementary guy to the operator in the CFT, the total dimension of that interaction will be greater than 4. Okay, so that's why in this region the interaction is suppressed.
Is there any parameter to change how much it's suppressed?
Yeah, basically it's the fermion mass. It's the bulk fermion mass. It's the C parameter right here. So I think it goes back to your question originally.
I still don't know what sense that has.
Well, okay, so. Yeah, you're free to choose it, but basically the point is that the natural value should be of order to scale k, which comes from the 5D gravitational theory. And so this should be the natural parameter, and we just choose, so notice this wave function, if we just choose order one variations, you can localize it at exponentially different, at very different regions in the bulk. So nothing really sets it, you just kind of choose that kind of order one values, basically. Okay, so Okay, so because of this universal coupling, when you rotate from flavor
to mass eigenstates after electroweak symmetry breaking, flavor change in neutral currents won't be induced. It's just analogous to the same mechanism that suppresses flavor change in neutral currents in the standard model. And it's crucial, though, that the coupling is universal. Okay, so let me conclude. So I presented you today with a different basis to work in from the standard Klutze-Klein decomposition. And we call it the holographic basis. And the idea is that we just expand the field in terms of an elementary source field and a set of composite resonances. It allows you to quantitatively describe the mixing and the dual theory between the elementary and composite states. And you can try to translate these geometrical mechanisms in the 5D theory to the language of partial composites. And so there are many other things to do. I'm not sure how many people are actually interested in warped models, but there are many varieties on the market that you could analyze. We only looked at tree level effects, so loop diagrams in this basis would be interesting to analyze. Could incorporate brain localized kinetic terms. And then I think basically that this idea, it's not specific to ADS. So anything with an asymptotically ADS geometry near the ultraviolet, you could probably identify a similar holographic basis in that. So it's probably a very general tool to use when analyzing these holographic theories. Okay, so I'll stop there.
Just sort of an idea question, but can I think of the holographic basis as sort of the natural basis that I write down my effective 4D field theory global condensation scale?
Yeah.
Okay, so the holographic basis is sort of the natural size of fields.
Yeah.
And the effective field theory.
Yeah, so the example in the standard model that I already mentioned was gamma rho mixing. So if you want to compute things like the pion form factor, there are these vector meson dominance models which mix the composite rho meson with the QED photon. And they mix kind of at quadratic level. And so that's how you describe it. So it's very analogous to that, to this setup.
Okay, so in some sense it's a basis suited to the 4D picture.
Yeah.
As opposed to the 5D picture.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Okay. Yep. Thanks.
Yep.
So the rate of fuel is picked in the brain is human. Is less composite than the water.
Yeah, the radion is actually a special case, and also the extra dimensional, the extra component of a gauge field A5, and those are actually interpreted as Goldstone bosons of the broken symmetry. So the radion is the Goldstone boson of CFT, the conformal symmetry breaking, and the A5 is the Goldstone boson associated with a global symmetry being broken in the CFT. So they're actually you can actually identify massless poles in the correlation functions of, say, two currents. So they're actually purely composite.
Any question? Just to explain to an ignorant if you will, why having, so because usually you can put the gravity in the bulk if you have larger shells, but not field. You just said that you can put the metal field because otherwise you can't see it very much. So, what's the claim? Why are those claim modes here and not the integrals?
Okay, well, let me see if I. So, one reason is that. One reason is that there's this suppression of flavor change in neutral currents. And it's because kind of you can separate the light fermions from all these new composite vector states. And so normally they would induce very large flavor change in neutral currents, but you separate them so they don't really interact much. Or they interact kind of universally. Then also there are you have to deal with things. That's a question actually that's much easier to see from kind of the 4D side of the dual theory, because in that case, basically, you just have kind of the elementary, the standard model is kind of the elementary states, and then you have composite states, which interact very weakly with it. and so they don't mess things up too much, and they couple kind of just enough. You kind of can build your models in such a way that they interact just enough where you see new states. Let's say the LHC, but they don't mess up precision electrode tests and flavor changing neutral currents and things like this. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you.